Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Welcome home. What does it feel like when you think about being home, right? Come on. You all got that certain pair of shorts or sweatpants that you wear when nobody... Those one, well, you some people wear them to Walmart, but anyway. But you got that certain thing that you feel comfortable in at home. I have my sleeping shorts, and I love my sleeping shorts. And what does it feel like to be when you're out of town and you come back and you get to sleep in your own bed? Come on, there ain't nothing like your own bed. I don't care if it's a Sealy Posturepedic, I don't even bought a mattress in a long time, or one of the gel foams. There's nothing like your own bed. I really, stay-at-home moms and dads, I really applaud you. There's not enough duct tapes and closets for me to stay at home with the kids. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. They don't let me watch the kids around here in church. But I applaud you because you stay home and you're raising these kids up to be, you're homeschooling them. You're teaching them the principles that they need to know. So I really applaud you this morning. But home is generally a safe place. And God, I don't know how many years ago, God said, welcome home a long time ago. If you look at, I'm going to be preaching from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation. So we will have, church will be over with about 5 o'clock, and the new people's like, what is this guy talking about? But in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if we think about the story, in day one, there was darkness to light. And day two, he separated the heavens from the earth. And there was earth and dry ground and trees and the sun and the moon and the stars, all the animals, all the fish, all the birds. Everything that was on the earth, he created. God created and provided a garden, and he said everything is good. But look what he said in Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was something, after all of these things he created, there was something that was missing. Do you know what that is? That was you. And that was me. So in Genesis 1:26, he says this. Then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. And he said, he went from saying it was good to it being very good. He said, welcome home. Everything that you see here is yours. But what did God want from us? He wanted a relationship, not a dictatorship. Come on, he created us to walk with him in the cool of the day. The Bible says he wanted us to be together with him and walk with him. He wanted our worship, and he didn't want a bunch of robots running around. Come on. That's why he gave us free will. That's why he said, okay, there's a choice that you can make. Come on, we're listed with choices every single day of our lives, of good ones, bad ones, all kinds of choices during the day. But he placed right in the middle of that home that he said, welcome home to, he placed a choice. In Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden, hey, Allah, y'all can eat every bit of this if you want to, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. If you read the Bible or have read the Bible or have heard the story, we chose wrong. And the consequences of that choice were devastating. There was sin, there was pain, there was hurt, there was death, not only physical death, but there was a spiritual death too. But most of all, the biggest part of it was separation from God. In Genesis 3:23, he says, therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden. He kicked him out of Eden till the ground of which they had taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east garden of Eden and flaming sword, which turned everyone away to guard the way to the tree of life. Sin had made them unwelcome in their own home. You ever been to somebody's house? And they got a welcome mat, and they got smiley faces. But right up here, they say, no solicitors. You're under armed guard. I got a pit bull in here. Come on, y'all seen those kind of people. Those are the kind I want to just go knock on the door and say, I'm here. See, I'm smiling. But coming home and being saved is choosing to follow, and it's not easy. Come on, anybody chose God and all of a sudden you've had to face some adversity or face some things? It's because you got that bullseye on your back now. The enemy says, I want you back, and God says, no, they're mine now. But our choices can cause pain. Choices can cause a lot of hurt. It can make you go places that you never thought you would be. As I was praying over this message, some of y'all maybe heard this story, but I really felt like this is a time that God wanted to bring something back around. But we, Pastor Mindy and I put those graphics up on the wall up there. We didn't kill each other. I wanted to kill her, but we did it. But one of them says, welcome home. Seriously, let me tell y'all. When she tells you to move it up just a little bit and you don't even touch it, she said, that's good. It's good right there. Come on, y'all husbands and wives work together like that. We don't put stuff together or put stuff on the walls very good, but it's straight. But it says, welcome home out there. And so many times I feel like this is my story, and this is a story I wanted to resonate with you in Luke chapter 15. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to him their livelihood, or he gave the inheritance. He was dissatisfied. Here come the youngest son. He was dissatisfied in the father's house. Can I just tell you right now with a surety that we live in a dissatisfied culture? Come on, it's all about more money and changing jobs. And hear what I'm not saying. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with going in different opportunities. But we want a bigger house. And I read where the divorce rate's going down. Most people are just living together now, though. We live in a very dissatisfied culture right now. And we go to this church and, well, they didn't sing the songs I like. Whew, so I'm going to get myself in trouble. That preacher didn't say my name when I walked in the door. But we live in dissatisfied culture right now. Why are we so dissatisfied? Because it's all about us. We live in a very entitled culture. Here's the young man coming to his father, says, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. You know what he pretty much was saying to his dad in that culture? Drop dead. Because you didn't get the inheritance until dad was dead. But here he comes. He says, you owe me. It ought to be free. I ought to just be able to walk through life the way I want to. I deserve this inheritance. You know what the father did? He did a crazy thing. He gave it to him. Come on. He gave it to him. Most people are like, what? I wouldn't let that little spoiled brat come in and tell me what I'm going to do with my money. Come on, that's my money. I worked hard for that. He gave it to them. But listen to this. Sometimes, parents, you got to let your own kids make their own mistakes. Come on, we're trying to shelter them. We're trying to. We're raising a generation right now that when chaos happens, come on, y'all. When chaos happens, they're not going to know how to adapt to that chaos. Sometimes you got to let your kids. I remember my dad when I was young, there was a gas stove out there, and I was about 3 years old, and I would go over to it and act like I was going to touch it. He said, don't touch that stove. Don't touch that stove. I'd go over, and one day, he let me touch the stove. I never touched the stove again because it burnt me. Sometimes we have to lead out of a place of experience, been there and done that. You know, sometimes I heard a young man that came to our seasoned men's group the other day. He says, I like to hear from the older generation, even though I'm young, because I want to hear their wisdom and things, because wisdom is birthed from mistakes. Or it should be. Anyway, let's go on. God will allow you to go back in order to get you back. Look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, or just riotous living. He was the life of the party, right? He was popular. He was a rock star. He had all the money. He had all the fun. He had all the friends. He had all those F words. But the Bible says this, that sin is pleasurable for a season. It's pleasurable for a little while. All 6 years of my college, I loved it. Without a degree. It won't even tell you. We got to fill in the blanks of what I did for 6 years. But in verse 14, it says this. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomachs with what they were eating. Ugh. And no one gave him anything. You find out who your friends are. That's not a country song. You find out who your friends are when you're going through something. Come on. He thought he had all the friends. He had all the friends as long as he was bankrolling the party. He had all the friends as long as he was going the way that they thought he should go. They had all the friends when everything was just so much fun. But when he came down to it, come on, you got to get you some friends. You got to get you some people in your corner that no, they ain't going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. All of a sudden, he was sitting there all by himself in the pig pen with nobody around him. You know what happens when you get into the pig pen? Before, y'all ever smelt pigs? I grew up in the country. They stink. Woo! You don't pay attention a lot of times, unless you go in my house, she makes me take my shoes off, or she wishes I would. But you don't pay attention to the mud when it's on the bottom of your feet, right? You just keep walking, and you may make a few tracks. You may do some things. You don't really pay attention to it. And even when it gets about ankle deep, you're still kind of trudging along. You know, I'm still making this. This is going good. I'm okay. But the problem is when you get in the mud, when it gets start to be knee deep, you start paying attention. You know why? Because you can't move as freely as you used to be. And all of a sudden, before too long, it's waist deep, and then it's chest deep, and then you're in the mud over your head, and you don't know how in the world that you got there. This young man had just been sitting in the Father's house not many days before that, had everything that he needed. Now he's sitting in the mud. He's saying, man, how did I end up here? Can I tell you something? Sin is costly, and the devil don't want a little bit of it. He wants it all of you. You don't hear that much often, do we? He went to having everything that he wanted to being in want. And it doesn't take, come on. Y'all know in your life, it doesn't take long to get there, does it? I'll tell you my story here in just a minute. In that place, you find regret. In that place, you find shame. In that place, you find disappointment, anger, and hurt. I heard Jason's testimony last night. He was living in regret, living in disappointment, living in all of those things, living in the pig pen. And it could take root for a lifetime if you allow it to. There's people that are still suffering from effects from a couple of past mistakes. But I love verse 17. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But when he came to himself, come on, you ever had an aha moment in your life? Woo! I've had two or three. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat, and I'm sitting here and going to perish with hunger? He had an aha moment. He realized he was not in the place where he was intended to be. He was saying to himself, how many have said this? I wish I could hit rewind. Don't you wish you could go back and change? I do believe there are things that are done in your life for a purpose. I do believe that what you went through, Jason, is for a purpose for what you're serving right now. And I do believe that even mistakes and things that we've made bad choices on are going to, God said he could turn it all around for the good. Because sometimes a test will really give you the testimony that you need. But the prodigal son, he's still in the pig pen and he has to make a choice. Here's another choice. Can I just sit here and stink? Can I just sit here and eat what they're eating? Or can I make a conscious decision to make a turnaround in my life? He said in verse 18, I will arise and I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Can I tell you the prodigal son walked away from home. He left home, but he didn't lose home. Come on, that's a word for somebody. He walked away from his home. He left what he knew. He didn't lose it. It was always still there. It wasn't taken away from him. He was just having a hard time finding it again. Why? You know why? Because life had happened. He got off track and he was blinded by the things of the world and he forgot how good the Father's house was and what he had. Can I tell you, action is the first step to get refreshed. Accountability plus responsibility equals freedom. You can't just sit in the mud. You can sit in the mud and have a pity party with all those muddy people that want to get in the mud with you. Or you can get up and make a conscious choice, is what he did. So in verse 20, and he arose and he came to his father. Well, I love this. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I imagine, this ain't in the King James, it ain't no version, but this is my version. I can imagine the father sitting on the porch day after day after day. Let's put a rocking chair out there. That'd be great. And he was saying, my son's coming home today. He's coming home. This is the day. And he may have had to sit there and come on, somebody. He may have had to sit there and tell himself each and every. Sometimes we got to tell ourselves stuff. We got to get the stinking thinking out and say, no, God, you are more than able. You are more than able to do this. He sat there every day saying, my son's coming home. Can I tell you that God still sees you afar off? You may think you're in the pig pen. You may think that he doesn't know. You may think that he's forgotten about you, but he's still, thank you, Holy Ghost, that you don't let people ride. I mean, you're still chasing them down. God sees you where you're at. Here's the thing. He could have judged him. He had every right to. He could have said to the son, you've disgraced me. You've disrespected me. You wanted me to die. You have drained part of what I worked my whole life for. But listen, look at the response of the father. It said he ran. The father ran to meet his son. He didn't really care what it looked like. I mean, back in those days, the Jewish guys, they didn't just run. It was not really respectful for them to run. I can imagine him pulling his robe up and running 100 miles an hour to meet his son, because you know why? That thing he'd been sitting on the porch waiting for forever was happening. His son was coming home. It said he kissed him. He wasn't shamed. It said he hugged him. If y'all ever been to a hog farm, pigs stink. He didn't care what he smelled like. He hugged him. The smell didn't hinder the hug. But here's the son in verse 21. The son said to him, Father, here's the first sign of turnaround. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, look how it starts. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here, kill it and let us eat and be merry. I like that, but you know what? He started talking to the servants. The son had just told him. He wasn't concerned about the comeback speech. He was not concerned about the comeback speech. He wasn't concerned with where he'd been. He wasn't concerned of what he'd been doing. Obviously, he saw he probably wasn't up to no good. That was not his concern. He wanted his son home. And all that didn't matter. God doesn't wait till you got it all together. God doesn't wait till you have it all figured out, because we'd all be lost in here, right? I love Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God can bring restoration to you just the way you are. So many times we'll say, well, I'll start going to church when I start doing better. You're probably not going to start doing better until you go get in the Father's house. So many times we say we're going to do this and do that, but the problem is that so far we get it out of order is what we do. God can bring restoration just the way you are. And he said, bring out the best robe. Don't bring that moth-eating thing that's been sitting in the corner over in the closet, or the one Pastor Johnny wore to a staff retreat. Don't bring that robe out. I had to get you, Johnny. That was good. He said, don't wait till he's cleaned up. My son is cold and he's half naked. No, I don't want you to hose him down first. I want you to put that robe around. The Bible said he clothes us with his righteousness. It says our own righteousness is as filthy rags. So he didn't wait till he had it all together to do that. Our righteousness is still dirty. He will clean you up. And this is not just an event. This is a lifelong process of cleaning you up. It's a continual seeking of God. Listen, will you all ever be perfect? No, not till Jesus comes and takes us and makes us perfect. No, but it's a continual process to be striving for perfection. That's what the Bible says. He said, put a ring on his finger. You know what the ring means? It means a covenant. It means you're mine. You're back in a position of authority. It's a sign of you're still in my family. You're part of my blood. I don't care where you... We got kids, biological kids, that sometimes don't do what we want them to do, right? Amen. Y'all got perfect kids out there? And they may go a certain way. They may do a certain thing. They may end up in jail. They may end up in different places. They're still your kids. This ring went back on his hand and said, I don't care where my son's been. He's back home and he's still part of the family. He said, go kill the fatted calf. We ain't eating bologna tonight. No Big Mac tonight. I don't care if they got buy two, get three free. We're not eating that tonight. We're eating prime rib. And let me tell you something. I believe the Father started fattening that calf up from the time he walked away. Come on, you don't just get one overnight. He said, let's get this ready because there's a party about to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but he's coming home. And when he comes home, we're going to have the best meal. When he comes home, we're going to do... Whew! Get that calf. We're going to eat good tonight. But what it is all these were a sign of restoration. And forgiveness would be empty without restoration. The son was coming home at first. Oh, y'all got to hear this part. Because he was hungry. He was tired. He was cold. He was lonely and he was misplaced. But the actions, listen, of the Father brought true repentance to the Son. The Son saw love displayed. It wasn't just, I love you and I'll tell you. The Father showed him by clothing him again, by putting the ring on his head. The actions of the Father, the Bible says the goodness of God draws people to repentance. To appreciate where you are or where you're going, sometimes you gotta look back to where you've been. Why does this story mean so much to me? Because I shouldn't be standing here this morning. I had an aha moment in my life. I thought God was done with me. Never stand up with a microphone again. You'll never preach this gospel again because of some of mistakes, because I walked away from the Father's house knowing better. And it took some restoration. It took some time for me to really embrace. I have a hard time embracing the Father's love normally just from the way that I was raised. But I thought I was done. I thought there was no hope, but he is more than able. Come on. Some of y'all right now, there's still got callings and giftings in your life right now that you've suppressed, that you've put back, and you said, no, God can never use me. Jason probably thought that 2 years ago, but God is more than able. As long as you're breathing, you got a chance. Thank you, Jesus. It takes a little while to get the smell off of you when you're in the pig pen. It took some pain and some tears and some hard conversations and some things that happened in my life. But again, God saw me afar off. He said, son's coming home. I don't know when he's coming home. Parents, pray over your kids. My mom and daddy, they didn't do everything right, but they prayed over their kids. Their kids are serving Jesus today. We all had prodigal stories, going and trying to do our own thing, but they're all serving God right now. One day I said, I want to be like David. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I don't just want to be saved. I want to have the joy of the Lord inside. Come on, we're going to start talking about how we can take the joy of the Lord outside of these walls. But you better have joy welled up inside of you to be able to tell somebody about the joy that you have. If y'all would stand with me today. Maybe this story... Maybe it's your story. Maybe you can really resonate with what I said today. But I'm asking you today, are you sitting in the mud? Are you wallowing in the mud? Are you stuck in the mud? And does it seem like it gets deeper and deeper and deeper the more that you try to come out of it? The Father is still saying to you, welcome home. Come home. But how can I come home, God? How can I come home from the failure? I had to ask myself that. How can I come home from the hurt? How can I come home from the disappointment and the life moments that happen? How can I do that? I remember he just tapped me on the shoulder one day. He said, come home. Come on back. Come on. And he still does that each and every day to each and every one of us. You get that tap on your shoulder. Come on, you know what that tap feels like. Come on. Maybe you're feeling it right here in your heart. Maybe your heart's tapping at you this morning. The God, the Father, specializes in putting the broken pieces of our life back together again. If you could have done it yourself, you would have already done it. You'd already had it planned and figured out. There are some things, like she just said, there's some possible things that you have to just say, okay, God, here it is. I don't understand it. I've done everything I know to do. Here it is to you. There are some things in our life that we need to do that with God. No matter how much you've messed up or how long you've been gone or waited, with God, it's never too late to start again. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, if y'all would just bow your heads, unless no one looking around. If you've never made that choice to say, God, I'm coming home. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home like I was. I was privileged. Maybe you weren't raised in this Christian home or that atmosphere. But you feel like, I've never made that decision to come back to the Father or accept Jesus as my Savior. The Bible says that today... Not tomorrow, not next week. Honestly, you're not promised anything. It's the day of salvation. And the process of it is to confess with your mouth, say, God, I messed up. God, you know what? God wants to hear your real prayers. He don't want to hear the ones that you think everybody wants to hear. He wants to hear, I really messed up. I've sinned. Can you just please forgive me for that? I want to believe in my heart that you died for me and that you're the Son of God. Can you take control of my life and help me to walk with you each day? Kind of a simple prayer, but if you pray that prayer meaning it, God hears your heart and he sees your heart. We have a phone number to text. We want to walk through this journey with you because it is a journey that we need to go through together. Welcome home. We're better together. That's what we've said in this church for 8 years. But text this number, 502-237-1234. It'll give you some steps to take, and we really want to be there for you. But maybe this morning you've been just a little muddied up. Maybe life's muddied you up a little bit. You just need a new, fresh start this morning. And maybe you've known the Father's love. You just need a reminder. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, God, you really do love me. You do care about me. Jesus' actions on the cross meant welcome home to us. He gave us access to the Father. So as they get ready to sing this song, the prayer team's going to be up here on the left and the right, and the altars will be open. If you need someone to agree with you in prayer for anything, or if you want to give your life over to Jesus this morning, we'll be up here to pray with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week. We'll